You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
I met with Landon several weeks ago, and here in his office, and somehow we began to talk about forgiveness, and there was this theme, and Landon just said, he said, "I want you to preach on that. I want you to talk about supernatural forgiveness." And to be honest, it wasn't really what I had been thinking I would preach on. But once the conversation went that way, I could never get it out of my mind. I talked to Landon again this week, and he was like, "Man, I'm still feeling that. Are you feeling?" I'm like, "Yeah." So I want to share this morning about supernatural forgiveness, and I want to tell you some stories, and I want to take you on a journey of forgiveness. And I believe this morning that God has something here for every single one of us. I believe that as I speak this morning, people are going to be healed. I believe as I speak this morning that people are going to experience deliverance, that freedom's going to come. I saw the Lord even this morning kind of reworking people's minds where things have been affected by bitterness. I saw him literally healing people's brains from the effect of years of bitterness. And so as I'm talking this morning, let the Lord work. You're not here to just listen. We're here to continue to connect with God throughout this entire time. So as something starts happening in your body, in your mind, let the Lord do what he wants to do in this place today. In the first service, we had a young lady. We were praying for deaf ears, and we prayed for her ear. She had had cysts in her ear and was having pain even when she moved her jaw. She felt a liquid drain out of her ear, and the pain was gone. I believe we had some cysts melt. And I'm just excited about what God is doing in this room right now. The Jesus we serve is alive. He's here. He's now. He's present. And he is moving in this place. And so several years back, I was in the amazing nation of Mexico. Anybody love Mexico? What an amazing, amazing people. And I was in Reynosa, and I prayed for a lady. It was her right ear. She was an elderly lady. Her right ear was completely deaf. And as we prayed for her, in Jesus' name, her ear popped open. And it was one of the first times that I had seen a completely deaf ear open. I mean, I was like whispering in her ear, you know, "Jesus." She's like, "Jesus, you know, Jesus." And it was so powerful. So another lady came up and said, "Would you pray for my ear?" A younger lady. And I began to pray for her right ear. And it seemed that we were getting nowhere. And so I said to her, I said, "Say this. Yo perdónalos. I forgive them." And then I said to her, "Say this. Yo he perdonado los." I've been working on a new tense in Spanish. I was kind of proud of it. I want to make sure I used it. "I have forgiven them." And the second she said that, her ear popped open. Then catch this. A mother comes up with a 4-year-old girl, and the 4-year-old girl couldn't hear in one ear, and so we were praying for that ear, and we were getting nowhere. And so I looked at the mother, and I said, "Say this, yo perdónalos," and she repeated it. And then I said, "Say this, yo he perdonadolos, I have forgiven them." And she said it, and when the mother spoke that, in that very instant, her 4-year-old little girl's ear popped open. Miracles happen when we forgive. And miracles are going to happen in this place today. Miracles of restoration are going to happen in families because of what happens in this room today. Inheritance that God has been wanting to loose in families for generations is going to be restored because there's going to be forgiveness today that is going to break the power of the enemy that has been holding back that inheritance. Forgiveness is an incredibly powerful weapon of warfare. I remember the season where I was learning to cast out demons. And isn't it amazing that we get to do everything that's in the book of Acts? Like, we all get to do this. We all get to lay hands on the sick. We all get to cast out demons. We all get to speak the gospel. It's amazing. And I didn't grow up being taught that way. I was taught more, and I'm thankful, by the way, for all of my everything I was taught. But I wasn't taught about that, hey, Jesus does those things today. And so in a season where I was learning to cast out demons, I had stayed up all night trying to get this demon out of this lady, and I wasn't having any success. You know, I had yelled, "In the name of Jesus!" And by the way, demons aren't deaf, okay? So I'd tried more the calm, cool, collected. John Wimber was one of my kind of mentors, and I've been like, more like, you know, "In the name of Jesus, come out now. I know I have authority over you." And I had tried every variation. "In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, come out." You know, I tried them all. I think I was getting close to losing my voice. And finally, the morning comes. No progress. And I hear the Holy Spirit say, "Ask her to forgive her father." So I say, "Would you forgive your father? And would you speak it out loud and declare it right now?" And as she did that, the demons left. There is tremendous power when we come into agreement with the finished work of Jesus on the cross and we align ourselves to say, "I will forgive." And so this morning, I want you to look in Colossians chapter 2, just beginning our journey. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Colossians 2, 13. It says, "When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our transgressions." Can you say all with me today? All. And I've studied the Greek, and all means all. How forgiven are you today? All. And by the way, Jesus didn't just take away your sins and get you back to normal. He gave you his righteousness. So you actually are righteous. Like, he's not just looking at you through some kind of filter to see, you know, that you're still this sinful person. No, he has made you righteous. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He took your sin and gave you his righteousness. And on a scale of 1 to 10 of righteousness, you are a 10 because Jesus is your righteousness. And so, he's forgiven us all our sins. It seems that it would be important for us to come into agreement with him. "Jesus, if you've forgiven me, I forgive me." And for some of you in this room this morning, this is going to be a morning that you look back and remember it was settled this morning. That I receive this morning the fact that Jesus has completely forgiven me. I stopped listening to shame. I stopped listening to the voice of accusation. And I tuned into the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And I agreed with Jesus that the cross was enough and my sins are forgiven. And I am released in Jesus' name. He did his work on the cross perfectly. He already paid for it. All of your sins are forgiven. And so to forgive is to come into agreement with the cross. It's to align ourselves with everything that Jesus purchased. Verse 14, Colossians 2. "Having canceled out the certificate of death consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it away, having nailed it to the cross. When he disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him." You see, As we forgive with what Jesus and agree with what Jesus did on the cross, we align ourselves with that victory, and it reminds the devil that Jesus made a public spectacle of him and totally disarmed him. I'm telling you something, the devil hates forgiveness. Because every time someone forgives in Jesus' name, it reminds him that he has no power, that his power's broken, that he's been publicly humiliated, and that Jesus has won the victory. And we come into agreement with that victory. And I believe this morning in this place that people are aligning themselves in a fresh way with that victory and fully receiving that forgiveness. Can we just say this morning, I receive your forgiveness. Thank you, Jesus. I am completely forgiven. Paul, when he was speaking to the church at Corinth, he said, look, I'm coming to you, but before I come, I want you to know I've forgiven so that there would be no place for the enemy to have advantage. The devil hates it when we forgive. And it's a tremendously powerful tool that takes ground from the enemy, that extends the kingdom as we declare forgiveness. All right, so one, you are forgiven. Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, he said, pray this way, forgive us our debts as we, help me out, as we forgive our debtors. So one, we receive forgiveness, but then we get to give forgiveness. I've been forgiven, so I get to release forgiveness. And it says here, forgive me, like we're gonna be forgiven as we forgive. So I don't want there to be anything in my life that's gonna stop the flow of the grace of that forgiveness. And so we get to freely release forgiveness. We freely received it, we get to freely give it. You know, that's the way things work in the kingdom. Even the worship that we were giving this morning actually didn't even originate with us. It originated with God because we love because he first loved us. So actually worship is taking love that God beamed down at you when you had no idea what love was, when you had no capacity to create love. God sent love down and loved you perfectly. And we get to take that love and we get to beam it back up to him. That's worship. I'm taking love that he actually even gave to me, and I get to give it back to him. And then I get to give it out everywhere I go. So we forgive because we are forgiven. And Jesus told a story in Matthew 18 about a man who was forgiven a tremendous amount. In fact, if you look at this story, it says that he was forgiven 15 talents. That's about 15 years' wages times 10,000. And so it's like, you know, 3 billion. So Jesus in this story, it's not like he's pulling like, hey, you're forgiven $20. And no, he's giving these like crazy numbers to describe how we've been forgiven. And so the man was forgiven 3 billion and he wouldn't forgive 5,000. Anybody in this room today been forgiven 3 billion? Aren't you thankful for forgiveness? That I've been forgiven 3 billion. And if I've been forgiven 3 billion, I can forgive 5,000. And I believe we're going to get really good at forgiving. Forgiveness is a lifestyle. You know, they asked Jesus, how often do we forgive? He said 70 times 7. We live in forgiveness. We don't ever want the flow of forgiveness in our lives to stop. We receive it and we give it. You know, you could go to every counselor in the world, but you won't be free until you forgive. You go to every conference, something happens when we agree. And you know, even there's studies in the world out there, they're kind of figuring some of this out, like, that we've known for the whole time because we can read it in the scripture. But they found in all of these different studies that people who forgive have less stress, they have better relationships. fewer general health problems, lower incidence of most serious illnesses, including depression, heart disease, stroke, and cancer, and forgiveness. I feel like even as I said the word depression, there's some of you in this room right now that as you forgive, the Lord is breaking depression off of you. Father, we just ask for that release of healing over depression. If that's you right now, just stand up. And we just want to pray into that for a moment. In Jesus' name, you've been battling depression over here. Some others, just extend your hands out if someone is near you. Just declare right now, Lord, I forgive. Lord, I forgive. Lord, I forgive. And we thank you for the breaking off of that depression in Jesus' name. We thank you for a rewiring even in your strength, in hormones. Father, for the release of what needs to be released in their bodies right now in Jesus' name. Let it be, Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand. They say, you know, one of these PhD doctor guys said, hey, forgiving is so important because unforgiveness raises your blood pressure, depletes immune function, and makes you more depressed and causes enormous physical stress to the whole body. And forgiveness works by reducing the stress of unforgiveness, a toxic mixture of anger, bitterness, hatred, resentment, and fear. I'm like, man, I don't want that. They say unforgiveness can cause all these different things. It sounds like to me like one of those TV commercials, you know? And unforgiveness may cause specific physical consequences, including increased blood pressure, adrenaline, and cortisol, and may be linked to cardiovascular disease, immune suppression, and possibly impaired neurological function and memory. No. Can we just say no to that in Jesus' name? And that's what the world's starting to figure out, some things that, again, that we know from the Word of God. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness, one, is taking responsibility for how we feel. It is becoming a hero instead of a victim in the story. It's learning to take wrongs less personally. It's a trainable skill, just like learning to throw a baseball. Forgiveness is a choice. And when God calls us to do something, when there's a command in Scripture, you always know the grace of God is right there for you to take hold of to do it. So when God says forgive, I'm telling you, there's a million tons of grace waiting for you to just say, yes, I forgive, and you step into that place of the grace of God to forgive. It is a choice. Forgiveness is not forgetting that something painful happened. It's not excusing or condoning the poor behavior. It's not denying or minimizing your hurt. It's not necessarily reconciling with an offender. It's not always possible. I wish it was, but even the Bible says, if possible, be at peace with all men. It's not always even waiving the right to justice or compensation, and it's certainly not always easy, but it is a faith, heart, choice, not a feeling, okay? Don't wait until you feel forgiveness. You might be waiting a long time. By faith, you step into, Lord, you've called me to forgive. I don't feel it yet. You may still be wounded. You may have all kinds of things to work through, but you choose to step into the grace of God to forgive. And many, many times it's a process. I have days where I think I've forgiven 500 times. It just comes up and I just say, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. And you know what? The next day it doesn't come up as much. It's like I began to get healed as I step into that place of forgiveness by faith. Chris Fallotton said this. He said, forgiveness rewrites our history. It frees us from our lives being defined by our wounds. Wow. I love that. So we're going to step into the grace. We're going to receive forgiveness ourselves. We have been forgiven, so we're going to abundantly forgive others. But I want us to take it a step further today, and I want to talk to you for a few moments about forgiving and blessing. Are you with me? All right. Job 42, verse 7. Job had been through a very difficult season. And there were in the story, there were friends who had become accusers, and there was this whole scenario that played out. And as it comes to an end, The Lord begins to work reconciliation and restoration. And it says, Job 42:10, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord increased all that Job had twofold. Now, I want you to see what kind of crazy restoration happens here. His brothers and sisters who had known him came to him. They ate bread in his house. They consoled. They comforted him for all his adversities. Each one gave him a piece of money and a ring of gold. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. Anybody okay with that? Like, the best part of your life is still to come? I'm signed up for that one. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys, 20 Teslas, and 50 Bitcoins. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. In all the land, no women were found so fair as Job's daughters, and their father gave them inheritance among their brothers. Now, that did not often happen at this time in history. That's amazing. And so this was such an incredible restoration. Verse 10, there was twofold possession increase, racial reconciliation, relational reconciliation, financial favor, family restoration, gender restoration. The inheritance also went to the daughters, and there was health restoration. And what was it that released it? It was when Job forgave and prayed and blessed his friends. You know, I've wondered before what would have happened if Job didn't do that. I mean, it doesn't, you know, we've lived a while, you know, like people don't always step into this. And what if Job hadn't? So this is the bitterness version. Don't go buy it. Job did not forgive and bless his friends. Every day his heart became harder and he became more bitter. Verse 2, Job and his family were not restored and remained sick and in bondage and great poverty. Verse 3, the inheritance God had for Job was never restored and Job's children became slaves to pay their debts. Now, one of the things, the longer I live, that motivates me more and more about living pure, about forgiving, is the fact that my life affects generations. And how I choose to forgive and bless doesn't just affect me, it affects generations. And things are going to happen again in this room this morning that are going to affect your kids. I told you the story of a mom in Mexico forgiving and the daughter's ear open when that happened. Now, I don't totally understand that, but what you do today is going to affect your family. It's going to affect your generational line. It's going to affect your neighborhood. It's going to affect the people around you, because a person walking in forgiveness, you're going to carry the presence of God in a way that a person who has bitterness and unforgiveness cannot. And there's going to be an authority in your life that cannot come when you have unforgiveness in your heart. Many times, the entrance into a new season involves walking through forgiveness opportunities. And I believe there's a number of people in this room that you're right on the edge of a new season. But with that, just like Job was about to enter a new season, there's the temptation to hold on to offenses from the past season while I want to go into the new season, but it seems I can never reach it because I won't let go of these offenses. And we have the opportunity today to let go of those offenses and to forgive and bless and step into an abundant restoration, a new season that God has for us. I want to tell you a few more stories before we step into some more ministry here this morning. There was a season where my family, we were praying for a new home. And our kids were getting to their teenage years. And we had decided, well, we want to have a house where their friends want to come. We thought, hey, that's probably a pretty good thing as a parent. We thought, let's have a fun place. Let's have a swimming pool. Let's have a nice yard. And so we were searching and praying and looking for a house, and we were finding houses that had a great pool, but no yard, or a great yard, but no pool. And so in that season, I was walking through personally some opportunities to forgive and in some relational dynamics that had been very difficult. Has anybody ever walked through a difficult relational dynamic? I'm the only one, a few of you out there. I feel that's one of the things is that we need so much training on, is how to relate to each other in the body of Christ. You know, in the Bible, in the New Testament, there's over 60 one another's. And the one another's have to do with how we relate to each other. It's all through the New Testament. And we're going to learn to relate to each other in better ways. Amen? We are growing up as the body of Christ. We're learning to have conversations that we need to have that we wouldn't have had in the past. Because sometimes the explosions in our lives happen because 2 months ago we needed to have a conversation that we didn't have. And I learned this in ministry the hard way. You know, I came into pastoring a church and I had my degree and I had lots of zeal. And I love God and I love the word. But I had about zero knowledge of how to relate to people, which could be a little problem. And I had a lot to learn. And I'm thankful for the people that God has put in my life to help me grow and to help me learn. And I certainly don't have it all down yet. So in this season, we were praying for a new home. And I was walking through some offenses personally. And I began to recognize on days when the offense would rise up the strongest that God actually wanted to do a miracle. And that if I would forgive and bless on that day, that something miraculous would happen in our house project, in the whole process. And so I remember it rising up one day and I forgave. And it's like, bang. The Lord got us this house. It wasn't on the market. It had a pool on a separate lot. It had a pond. It had trails nearby that I could run on. And I was able to know that those miracles were happening on days when the offense would rise up and I would say, no, I forgive. We needed to close on this house in like 4 days. Everybody's like, there's no way you can do that. God did it. And miracle after miracle happened in this season, and I begin to see the power of forgiving. And then one day I remember exactly where I was. I was driving, I was over on the west side of 820, and I was driving, and a fence had come up, and I was having a conversation with the Lord. And the Lord said this to me. He said, 100 years from now, nobody is going to care that someone spoke against you. All that matters 100 years from now is my kingdom. And I need you to not just forgive this person, but I need you to bless them because I need them to be everything they can be in the kingdom so that people come to know me. And something happened inside of me in that moment, and this grace came, and I was able, where I'd been struggling to even just forgive. And you know how sometimes we're kind of there like, well, Lord, I forgive them, but kind of, you know, let them have a hard time, you know? Just, you know, kind of don't let it look too good, but I forgive them. All of a sudden, there was this grace on my life to forgive, and I said, I bless them, and would you prosper them? Would you prosper their kids? Would you prosper their ministry? Would you prosper their lives, Jesus, so that you can be known on the earth? And the grace of God came, a revelation came that enabled me to step into the place of not only forgiving, but also blessing. And Job experienced miraculous restoration when he prayed for, he blessed his friends. And I know there's many in this room this morning that God is going to work that in your heart to not only forgive, but to bless. Let me tell you one more story. My son, Matt's always been an entrepreneur, and as soon as he could drive, he would always buy a car, and then he'd sell it for more and get another one, sometimes even he wasn't even old enough to sign the documents, you know, I'd have to go and sign them. So he wanted a red Honda Prelude. And so we were in Austin over the holidays with some relatives. We thought, hey, let's check and see if there's a red Honda Prelude in Austin. And sure enough, we found the perfect red Honda Prelude. We bought it. I got to drive it back to check it out. And I drove to my normal gas station, drove up, filled it up, got out, went inside, came back out. And when I came back out, somebody had backed in to our new Honda Prelude and hit the fender and left a huge dent, and they drove off. Oh, and it had been such a good day. And I'm driving my son's new car. I'm the proud dad. And bang, this happens. And I was so upset. I went and asked if there was any security feed. Hey, do you have any security feed? I want to bless somebody. And thank goodness there was no security feed. I was like, God, what do I do? And I just, right then, it just came to me, boom. I said, I forgive him and I bless him that he's going to become a powerful evangelist sharing the gospel everywhere he goes, leaving the blessing of the gospel with people rather than what he left me. You're not going to hit my car and get away unblessed. Every time it came up, I just, Lord, I bless him. He's gonna be a great sharer of the gospel. Even this week, and this was many years ago, even this week I drove to that same gas station, because I still go there and live in that area. And I drove up and I thought, you know, I'm gonna go to the exact pump where I was. And I purposely drove over and parked there and said, Lord, I bless the guy that smashed into the red Honda Prelude. Let him be a great share of the gospel. And let him bring many people to Jesus. Now, I haven't met him yet, but I believe I will. If you're out there, come see me. I love you. I've forgiven you. There's power when we forgive and we bless. Why don't you stand this morning? The worship team could come on up. Jesus. Thank you. Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing in this place. We thank you for the miracles that you're working. We just declare in this room, Jesus, that you are good. We thank you for the finished work of the cross. We thank you that you look over our lives now and that you have forgiven all of our transgressions.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.